Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation for the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Leanne Dolan here in Pasadena, California. I'm a writer and I'm a producer. And did you guys watch the Emmys? I felt so close to all of the TV shows this year because I've watched so much TV this year. Julie, did you watch?
Hi, this is Julie Dolan. I'm the oldest sister and I live in Dallas, Texas. And no, I did not watch, Leanne, but I believe I was the first sister to recommend Ted Lasso on Satellite Sisters. And I was an early adopter. And I remember your response, Leanne, was like, oh, really? Ted Lasso. And oh, really? Ted Lasso. That was the right answer.
Okay, Julie, you win. You win.
Yep. Julie gets the Satellite Sisters Emmy. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm the middle sister. I live in Santa Monica, California. I did watch it and I thought it was pretty fun. My favorite, my most Satellite Sisters part where you have to give a special shout out. I know we've talked a lot about how much we love Debbie Allen. And so she got the Governor's Award and she's just so great in every way. So talented, so warm, so wonderful. And at the end of her speech, she gave a real stay noisy rallying cry for the young people of the world. And she said, for young people, they're inheriting the world we live in and where we lead them. It's time for you to claim your power, play your voice, sing your song, tell your stories. It will make us a better place. Your turn. And I thought, that was just
wow.
I would enjoy that. I think it is time. I think that's great. I'm anxious for this generation to step up because they have a lot to say.
Yes, me too. Me too. Good. I missed that. I'll have to go watch that. I'll have to go watch that on YouTube.
All right. Well, can we start by start the show by saying we have some really exciting family news. We have a new great nephew named Casey. 8 pounds, 22 and a half inches. That is a very nice size. And he joins his big brother, Jonas, and the very happy parents are our niece, Catherine, and her husband, Alex. And we've seen pictures of Casey. He's a beauty. And welcome to the world, Casey. That's what adorable. We have to say.
Yeah, we're welcome.
Casey, your turn. Your turn. Go for it.
Today on Satellite Sisters, Julie went somewhere this weekend. A surprise trip.
Can you believe it? I love
sneaking out of the country.
Yes.
Okay. We got to talk about that. We got to get some details on that. I, of course, had a wine tasting with John Bon Jovi. So we're going to talk about that. Liz, you had a great second opinion from your doctor, from a new doctor.
Yes. I would like to talk about the emotional journey of seeking a second opinion, sisters.
I think that's important. Yeah, I think that's good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you're going to talk about that. I have a home improvement block. So, you know, hold on to your paint chips because I got the colors that are going to get your house $5,000 more if it goes on the market.
Take notes.
We have entertaining sisters. We have a couple of books, three books that we want to recommend today. And Liz and Julie, we won an award.
What?
I got a notification for an award we won this week.
Okay, what is it?
Is it?
I'm gonna tell you later on in the show. I can tell you that the issuer is the city of Santa Monica.
Oh,
well, we got an award.
That's prestigious.
City of Santa Monica, very prestigious, Julie. So,
It is where I live. So, do I get a parade? I can't wait to find out what this award is.
Wait a year.
Okay.
All right. But can we start? I actually went on a trip, sisters. Can you believe this? This is, you know, my theme for the year was, what are you waiting for? That after 2020, where nobody did anything, I was just like, 2021. What are you waiting for? But as many people have, you know, I had like a backlog of things that had been canceled in late 19 to 2020 into 2021. Anyway, long story, one place that has always been on my bucket list that I wanted to go is the charming World Heritage site town of San Miguel de Allende in Mexico. Now, Liz, you've been there, right?
I have been there. It's beautiful. I went there. Well, it was like a couple of years before pandemic. Beautiful, beautiful place.
So this is a small town about 170 miles northwest of Mexico City. As I said, it is a World Heritage Site because it is just chock full of Baroque and neoclassical colonial buildings and structures and cobblestone streets and gorgeous churches, over 300 churches ranging back to the 1500s. And it's just an amazing place to go. They have everything from bed and breakfast places to boutique hotels to luxury hotels to houses. There's something for everyone in San Miguel. And so my husband and I went. We went for a long weekend. It was very exciting. We took a cultural and history tour of the city. Which we enjoyed. I mean, that's a very popular thing to do, Leanne. Also, there are cooking lessons. There are a lot of retirees that live there, Americans that have moved down to this area. You know, this was the whole town was sort of founded in the late 1500s, and then the Spanish came over and they used the town sort of, it was on the silver from the silver mines in the north. This was a stopping town for that before they took the silver down to Veracruz and over to Spain. But the indigenous people, the Chichimecas, they beat the Spanish, took back the town, which was good, but it stopped the silver trade. And so the whole town went into this big recession. And then at the start of the 20th century, they had the flu there. So it became like this ghost town. But so that's not good. But the good news was it meant that this town was sort of frozen in time. So no additional development went on. And so much of it has been preserved. And then around after World War II, somebody had the idea like, hey, let's start an art school down here and we can get a lot of the U.S. soldiers coming back from the war on the GI Bill and they can use their GI money to come and study art in San Miguel. And so it then became this community for artists and writers and tourists. And one of the neat things about the place is that many of the tourists that we encountered were Mexican. So it's very popular with people from Mexico, Mexico City. It's a nice weekend retreat to come up to the mountains and check out this beautiful town. I want to report that it's very easy for going to Mexico from the United States. You don't need any special documentation other than your passport. I tried to show people my vaccination cards. No one was interested in it. Not a single
person. I don't know if that's good or bad, but okay, good for you.
No. So, and then on the way back, it was very easy. You do need to get an antigen test, a COVID test, to come back to the U.S. Very easy to get in San Miguel. They have a station set up right in town. You don't need to make an appointment. We got our results right away. Again, I was very, very anxious and excited to show as many people as possible my negativo result on my COVID test. And the weird thing is, it's just when you check back in. We flew on American Airlines nonstop. It's a 2-hour flight from Dallas. And you just show it to the gate agent, which seems, I don't know.
What were you expecting? Yeah. Like Tony Fauci at the airport?
Yes, Liz. Yes. I mean,
hey.
Or Antonio Fauci, you know, his Mexican cousin possibly running that operation. I don't know, Liz, but it seems like a lot for a gate agent to have to just, you know, review all the COVID tests. But they're doing that. And I will say, I felt like they did, it's an excellent city, because there's so much rooftop dining or garden dining. So there's a lot of outdoor dining for all the delicious food there. You have to wear a mask in San Miguel, so everyone is doing it. Their other big COVID prevention system seems to be that they have positioned people about every 3 or 4 feet in the town with a bottle of hand sanitizer. And
oh, wow.
Wherever you go, if you want to go to the open market, you need hand sanitizer. If you want to go to the artisan market, hand sanitizer. If you want to go into any of the shops, hand sanitizers, a foot bath, and they take your temperature of some kind. I mean, I don't know. They were taking my temperature on my wrist. I don't know if that works, but that's what they were doing. But
I'm always skeptical of that too here. I've had that done a few times here. I'm like, really, if that works, why have we never done it that way before?
I don't know. But so there was a lot of that hand sanitizing, foot baths, temperature taking, but then they, at the added feature, Liz, they have a beautiful town square there.
Yes.
That has some gorgeous Gothic church. They have other Baroque style churches right on the town square. They had set up inflatable arches, and it was like a mister, and you had to walk through these arches to get into the town square. I don't know what they were spraying us with, but it didn't sting or stain. So I was okay with it, I mean, but that was part of the, and this is a city that does lots of festivals and processions and, it just seems it's a very interesting place to go. I saw that in Travel and Leisure magazine, they have said San Miguel is their number one city destination for the 2021 year.
Interesting.
Really?
Okay.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh.
So also,
Julie, maybe you've already read it. Have you ever read the book On Mexican Time, A New Life in San Miguel de Allende?
No.
It's really great, written by a guy named Tony Cohan. And he was an American expat. He was an artist. His wife is a novelist. They went to Mexico. They went to San Miguel in 1985 and just fell in love with it and moved there. And it's the whole story of moving there. So it's sort of like A Year in Provence, but... Yes. Mexico.
Okay.
I highly recommend it, On Mexican Time.
Okay, that's good. So put that on your list, Satellite Sisters. It's a great place to go for Satellite Sisters. I can totally see going there with a group of friends and having a fantastic time. It's great to go with a partner or a spouse. While many of the Mexican families had young children there, I don't, I mean, it, It probably is much more geared toward adult activities than children's activities there. But yet it's very children friendly, without a doubt.
That's okay. Excellent report, Julie. We literally had no idea that you went. I think people
I know.
Think
I kept it a surprise. Again, it was a game time decision, right?
Okay.
I just like, you don't know if you're actually going to do these things into the last minute because things change every single day, right? So game time decision. I went.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I was feeling pretty good about my wine tasting with John Bon Jovi, but it seems to pale in comparison. I just got an email from my grocery store, Gelson's, that they were having a tasting and, you know, you could order a platter of seafood and duck and you could get on Zoom with John Bon Jovi and his son and learn about his new rosé Hampton Water. And I signed up for that. And I was feeling pretty good about that until you just gave this report. But that did happen last week.
I don't know. Wine tasting with John Bon Jovi. That's a once in a lifetime
thing.
Yeah,
I didn't see any celebrities. Okay. So you're way ahead in that count.
I have to laugh. People, when I posted the photos of John Bon Jovi smiling at me on the Zoom wine tasting, people are like, oh, you're so lucky. I was like, I just responded to an email from a grocery store. Like that. There was no.
That I'm seems just, pretty exclusive, Leanne. Yeah.
It's just one of the many women in their mid-50s that wanted to have a wine tasting with John Bon Jovi. Because that was, I think everybody on the call was someone who had come of age in 1987 when Living on a Prayer came out. So
why not?
And I tried to explain it to my husband. There was no explaining it to him beforehand. He wouldn't understand the words Zoom wine tasting, John Bon Jovi, or Gelson's. Like he wouldn't understand any of those words, right? So he came home and there's a duck platter and a very generous seafood platter. Like that's how you kind of paid for it, is you ordered the two platters, you had to go buy the wine, and then you got the Zoom link. And what was crazy was that Gelson's had originally scheduled it for 6, but they scheduled it on the tail end of Rosh Hashanah. Well, Gelson's is a grocery store that primarily serves the Jewish community here in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. Like that's where you go to get your matzo ball soup, and they blew it. They forgot it was Rosh Hashanah. Oops. So then they had to bump it to 7:30 at night, which it might as well be midnight for me, but it really was almost midnight for John Bon Jovi. I have to,
oh yeah. Oh, JBJ staying up late.
Yeah.
Star hours.
He's a rocker. He's a rocker though, Lynn.
That's what you think, Julie, but he got on and he looked tired and he was only drinking water. Oh, so cool. even John Bon Jovi, at one point he said, why do you think I'm up at 11:15 at night trying to push this wine? So in a good natured way. But, so my husband was out. So it was just me and John Bon Jovi in my office drinking wine, but he entered into this business with his son. So the whole vibe of the night was that just parental pride, like mm-hmm. his son is the same age as Brooks. He's 26. He went to Notre Dame. This was kind of his idea with his friends, because I guess they used to joke that out there in the Hamptons where John Bon Jovi has a big house. I know now on Lily Pond Lane in East Hampton, because I looked up a lot of John Bon Jovi facts afterwards. That they used to drink a lot of rosé. John called it pink juice. And his son said, no, it's really more like Hampton's water. And so then they thought, oh, we should do a business plan. That's a good idea. Like the 26-year-old kid and his buddy, they did that. They've been selling the wine for 5 years, but it's just in California now. Because as we know, it's very hard to get wine onto the shelves in California because we have our own darn wine. So we don't need we don't need Hampton's water from France. So I think that's why Gelson's had him on, because he must have said, yeah, I'll do this if you give the wine some shelf space. So that's why he was like, why do you think I'm up at 11:15 trying to sell wine? But he was just, he let his son do most of the talking. He couldn't have been nicer. He's just sitting in his kitchen somewhere in New Jersey at his big mansion. But you know, John Bon Jovi married his high school sweetheart, Dorothea. Oh. They've been married for 32 years. They have 4 kids. You know, he is worth $400 million.
Oh my God.
He is like the 4th richest rocker on the planet. Again, from some facts. So even more appreciative that he's up at 11:15 at night.
Said to help his son.
Mm-hmm. It was really sweet. So he couldn't have been cuter. And you know, the people from Gelson's, I have to say, they've got John Bon Jovi on the line, right? This is where I put my producer hat on. They spend the first 10 minutes like talking about other events they're going to have. It's John Bon Jovi. He's there. It's 10:30 at night. No one cares about the other events. We're all here for John Bon Jovi. And then at the end, they spend another 10 minutes talking about the coupons you're going to get. And John's just on the line in his kitchen. I mean, I would have left the meeting. You know what I mean? I would have been like, okay, if you're talking about coupons, bye-bye, going now. Nope, not John Bon Jovi, just there with his son. So it was really delightful. I feel very close to him now.
Yeah, that's good. Is the wine any good?
Yeah. The wine's delicious. It's a French rosé. Okay. So it's very crisp.
Okay.
Because I think all pink wine kind of tastes alike, except if it's dry. You know, there's a big sweet middle, but then I like the Oregon rosés and I like the French rosés, and his is a French rosé. So it's called Hampton Water. And Liz, I believe you could only get it at Gelson's here in California.
All right.
So look for it.
Well, there's a Gelson's over here on the west side somewhere. I recall driving by one, but I will hunt it down.
It has a very nice label with a swimmer on it. It's a very elegant looking bottle. And the 26-year-old said at first they wanted to bling up the bottle, and then he showed us the blinged up bottle. I was like, of course you did. This is the Jersey in you coming out, you know?
Now, Leon, could John see you? I mean, did you put a nice top on for your Zoom call?
Like, I did, ripped, but he couldn't.
Ripped
he t-shirt, couldn't see
you know, something.
Yeah. Wet t-shirt. Something.
Yeah.
Well, I got my hair permed. Is that weird? So. Now, we were in the Zoom, you know, the webinar, so we could only see. There was a certified cheese professional, the woman from Gelson's, literally that was her title, certified cheese professional. So that's a job out there, people. Mm-hmm. Look it up. Get on it if that's your dream. She had put the platters together, and then the marketing manager from Gelson's, and then John and his son. But I could see lots of people in the comments. So many people enjoying the whole experience. So, so that's it. Now I'm just looking to the grocery store to provide all my social engagement as well.
You're doing all your traveling through the aisles.
Through Gelson.
It's amazing how life has changed.
It is.
Really amazing.
It did make me think, though, because I've been doing a lot of Zoom events. I don't think these Zoom events are going away. I mean, I think some people will continue to go to them. I think people have a little Zoom fatigue, like maybe we're not doing the Zoom happy hours anymore, but it was kind of fun to have John Bon Jovi, you know, sitting in his kitchen there, like talking to us. And it was pretty easy for him, and it was a lot of fun. And there were certainly a lot of people on the line. So, because it was not just my Gelson's, but all the Gelson's.
All the Gelson's.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's used to sold out shows.
He is, Joel.
Yeah.
He's used to the big
stage. I mean, say they told you that JBJ was going to be live in the store. Would you go to that?
Probably not.
It's actually easier just to be on the Zoom, and in some ways more personal.
Yeah.
And just, you know, I don't know. What are you going to do in the store? So, I think that's a good solution.
Right. I loved it. I thought it was great. So, I mean, actually, I probably would go. Let's face it. I'd go. But
I would go. You two can stay home.
I'd go. So anyway, I'm just saying, read those emails. A lot comes through. I mean, I enjoy a newsletter. And so I feel like I benefited from reading the grocery store newsletter because it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Hot tip.
Thanks, John.
Hot tip.
Hey, speaking of the New York area, next week we are having a very special Satellite Sisters. We're calling it our I Heart New York show. I love New York next week. And here's why, because we have some breaking Satellite Sisters news about NYC.
Mm.
But we are not going to tell you, Satellite Sisters and Misters. You are going to have to tune in to next week's podcast to know what we are talking about. But it's pretty big, and it's pretty fun, and it's pretty exciting. So we're going to be talking about that next week, but here's how you can help. I'm going to put a couple of questions in the Facebook group. And one is for New Yorkers, people that live and work in and around the New York area that really know their stuff about New York. So you're sort of, I want to hear your favorite New York moment, like a typical New York moment that you loved, whether it happened on the subway or at St. Patrick's or in Central Park or whatever, a great New York moment. We'll be reading some of those on the show. And if you're a visitor to New York, there'll be another question for you about the spots you loved visiting in New York. So more of a tourist New York. What are the don't miss things when you go to New York? But the whole show will be built around I love New York. So it's very, very exciting, I think.
Why not? I like this idea. This is great.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I know.
So you're going to participate, Liz? Good.
Yes.
Well, I do love New York, so I'm in. Yes.
And if you're not on Facebook, but you still want to participate, subscribe to Pep Talk. And you can always respond to the questions by responding to Pep Talk. So we love having people in the Facebook group. And that's an easy, fun place to find us and to join in the conversation. But if that's not your jam, then do subscribe to our newsletter, because we'll be putting those questions also in Pep Talk this week. And to do that, just go over to satellitesisters.com, wait 2 seconds, and a sign up window will pop up and you can do that.
Okay.
So that's it. Yeah. My sons leave for New York tomorrow. The brothers planned a trip to New York together. Isn't that cute?
Really? Just for fun? Good for them.
Yeah. All right. They're going tomorrow. So, yeah, Colin's going to see Hadestown. He's got a Broadway play lined up, and I don't know what Brooks is doing. He doesn't tell me anything anymore.
It's great having sons, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. So I don't know what's happening. So I'll have some fresh material from them too.
Excellent.
Because they will have just been to the big city. All right. So that's next week on Satellite Sisters, I Heart New York.
Liz, you look really happy. What's happening there?
A lot of things going my way, Leanne, but here was the best news in my inbox this morning is I got my email from ButcherBox saying, we're starting to get your next box ready. And I just love when this happens, because then you click on the link, you can go in, you can see what's on sale, you can get the best value for your next order, and then boom, customized box showing up in a few weeks at my place. I love being in the ButcherBox family, and they give me plenty of time to get ready every time.
There is good communication in the ButcherBox family. I agree, Liz. They want you to be happy.
Yeah.
They want you to have
peace. Better than many families.
That's right. It's right. You know, we love the 100% grass-fed beef, the free-range organic chicken, the pork that's raised crate-free, wild-caught seafood. They're humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. Free shipping always, and you get that customized box of everything you want. ButcherBox, thank you so much for bringing us peace of mind, and keep those emails coming. Liz, today's offer is spectacular. ButcherBox is giving Satellite Sisters listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order.
Okay. Oh, that is the deal of the century, people. What are you waiting for?
Free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/sisters, code SISTERS. Thanks, ButcherBox.
All right. So, sisters, I said at the top of the show that I wanted to share a little bit about my emotional journey of going to get a second opinion on my leg. So, I've shared some of the details since I had a bad accident over New Year's. I broke my knee and my leg. You've heard regular listeners have heard some of the darker moments of that. First quarter of the year is pretty much like lost to my memory. Second quarter started to feel a little better. But I just felt like I wasn't sure that I was improving at the rate that I was supposed to improve, and mainly because my surgeon was just not a good communicator and sort of gave me the feeling I was failing. So, but you just don't know. And you think, well, your surgeon's job is to put you back together. Maybe now it is just up to me, but it was just gnawing at me whether or not I should talk to another doctor about, is this right? Am I really healing? So first I did a little research on second opinions. You guys have probably had to deal with this in some of your own medical issues, right?
Yeah, I don't think I ever have gotten one.
No, I yeah. haven't either. But it seems hard to me.
It's
to
intimidating.
It is intimidating. It is not hard, but it is intimidating. So just think about this. I was reading some stuff from AARP, and they said a 2015 study found that seeking a second opinion led to changes in the course of treatment for approximately 37% of patients and changes in diagnosis 15%. So they say if there's a better than 1 in 3 chance that your doctor's first instinct isn't necessarily the best way forward, don't you owe it to yourself to examine all your options for treatment? So yeah. So my issue was that obviously this was treatment after the surgery. I didn't really have any time during surgery in the middle of a pandemic. Leon, as you recall, you were there. There's really no time for choices. That part was super bad. I do not recommend surgery during a pandemic. But
you weren't shopping around for surgeons.
No.
Like when I had my cancer surgery, I had a list of surgeons and I did meet with a couple so I could pick one. You had emergency surgery.
I was just lucky anyone would operate on me at that point.
Right.
But for the kind of injury that I had, the aftercare, after surgery treatment is almost as important as the surgery itself.
Absolutely.
So now let's talk a little bit about my surgeon. So, you know, surgeons are not known for their warm and fuzzy approaches. They basically go in and they cut you up and then that's it. But each time I met with him, I felt like he wasn't really talking to me or listening to me. He was just a super hard ass. I'm sorry to use that term, right?
Well, you met him, Leon, too, so you can corroborate.
Multiple times, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as I started to get better, I went in for my July appointment. So that was 6 months after my surgery. And this is when I really started to worry because I felt I was doing really great, right? I even got dressed up for my appointment. I went on my own, Lee, and I said, you didn't need to come with me because I'm fine. I'm better now. Look at me. You know, I was down to just walking on one crutch. Julie, I even wore a dress to my doctor's appointment.
Liz, not that the doctor cares one bit what you're wearing, right?
No.
He's just looking at the x-ray, right?
Yes, but I knew he had to examine my leg. And then I thought, well, I just want to make sure he knows I am doing fine. So I walk in, feel like I'm doing fine. He walks into the examining room. Now I'm down to one crutch, which I am super proud of. I put the crutch against the wall and I'm sitting on the examining table with my legs dangling. He walks into the room. He kind of acknowledges me, though I have no specific recollection of him acknowledging me. He just looks over and he sees the crutch against the wall and he said, "What's that for? You shouldn't need that anymore." That was like the first thing he said to me, which is, I mean, talk about bursting your balloon. I thought he was going to look at that and say, good for you. Oh, how are you doing? Maybe ask me how I'm doing. Maybe ask me like, how's the PT coming? You know, how are you feeling? He didn't do any of that. First, he just, you know, bagged on me for having a crutch. And then he's like, okay, well, let me see you walk. And I was walking not well, but well enough, way better than I had been. And he said, so tell me what you're feeling when you limp like that. So I explained to him what I was feeling. And he said, well, there's no reason for that. Well, yeah. I don't know what to tell you, doc. He said, look, all of your bones are healed. I'm like, I really can't. You asked me what I'm feeling. That is what I'm feeling. So anyway, so I went into that 6 month appointment feeling great about my progress and came out of that 6 month appointment feeling like a total failure. So I'm just saying, if you're the doctor, maybe that's not a good way to manage the appointment.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right.
So,
honestly, because it had been months for you.
Yes.
Like you have an injury that you knew once you were able to really focus that it was going to be a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in a good situation.
Right.
So his attitude was really detrimental.
Yeah, he just really took all the wind out of my sails. And of course, he's the doctor, right? So even I start to think, could he be right? Could I be failing? I mean, I was walking like, I mean, working like a dog. I had gone to the hardcore PT that he recommended. I've mentioned my physical therapist who I love, the Beast. When I went back to the Beast after this devastating appointment with my doctor, she called him a very mean name and told me to just ignore him. She said, yes. She said, believe me, if you were not improving, I would tell you that. I have rehabbed people. This is a very serious injury, and I've rehabbed people from it before. You're doing fine. This is going to take a while. So the Beast had no time for him, but he definitely got in my head.
Yeah,
he was totally in my head. The other thing that got in my head, I will admit, is Ashley Judd. So
you were jealous of her, Liz?
I was jealous of Ashley Judd, Julie, because as you may recall, not long after my accident, she had a terrible accident in Africa where she broke her leg in a bunch of places and it was covered everywhere. And then like in March, there was the big People magazine story about her and how she was recovering. And she talked about her knee flexion and that she already had 109 degrees of knee flexion. And I was still at 90. And I was like, how is it possible that Ashley Judd has better knee flexion than I do? That you're like, what is going wrong here? So I had my mean doctor in my head and I had Ashley Judd in my head. So
And you're Liz Dolan. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, that I need to say that you're not easily intimidated by anyone.
No.
You know, whether it be a doctor or a celebrity. I mean,
you're
Liz Dolan. So
Thank you, Julie.
Terrible.
But if someone starts to make me feel like I'm failing, then I just don't know what to do about that. That cannot stand, right? So I thought about it a lot. And then Leanne, thank you. You have a friend, like you hooked me up with an alternate orthopedic surgeon, because then you don't know how you find this doctor. Like now you have to find another knee doctor. And when you look into the research about how to get a second opinion, you know, sometimes you're supposed to tell your doctor you're seeking a second opinion. And I'm not doing that. Why would I tell him? I just want to talk to someone who's 100% independent of my doctor. So anyway, so I made the appointment. It took a month to get in, again, pandemic timing. And last week, I would have to say, I had a triumphant second opinion with a new doctor. And it's not just that I was shopping for someone to tell me what I wanted to hear, as much as I wanted a doctor who gave me the feeling that he was listening to me. The first thing he said to me when he walked in, I was sitting on the examining table. He said, "How can I help you?"
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you wear the dress to the second?
No, I did not, because obviously didn't work the first time. So I said, I gave him a little bit of the background. I said, I just need reassurance that I'm doing the right thing. I've been working very hard at PT. I did not bag on my current doctor because I don't think they like that. I said, I'm just, you know, it's been very slow. I am getting better, but it's very slow. So I just wanted reassurance that this timing is appropriate and that I'm doing the right thing. And so he examined me. There were brand new x-rays. I love when they look at my x-rays and they're like, whoa, wow. You know, so I got that. That was good. he said, you had a devastating injury. And for some reason, I'm happy to hear that. Right.
Right.
I just want someone to acknowledge that I'm not supposed to be fine yet. So he said, and it takes a long time. He said, it'll be a year, maybe two, before you feel 100%. So that was super helpful information. I explained to him what I was doing for PT. And he said, well, that sounds great. Your leg is very strong. I can tell you've been working hard. I was like, thank you, doctor.
That's good. Did you cry a little? That's good.
I did not. No.
Okay. All right.
No. And then my favorite thing, Julie, though, is when he started manipulating my knee and my leg. He's like, wow, your flexion is great. Your knee flexion is great.
Take like, that, Ashley Judd.
I never knew it would mean so much to me to have someone say your knee flexion is great. I will confess, I'm still about 9 degrees behind Ashley Judd. But whatever. So I mean, my first goal was to
continue to improve and to make sure that I was getting the right professional advice. Because my last doctor, again, in the July appointment, when he seemed so dissatisfied with my progress, I said, what should I do? What do you need me to do? I'm doing everything you told me to do. And he just said, you need to crank harder on that leg. And that was just not a useful piece of information. Yeah. Thanks for nothing, doc.
Well, and he's been saying that for 6 months. Every time he went in, I was there and he would say, just crank, just have someone crank on it.
Yes. So anyway, so that was the good thing, is that I got the medical reassurance that I was doing the right thing. But also the other advantage to a second opinion is that it totally changed my attitude. It's like, I've been feeling like I was failing. I had this feeling that it's Groundhog Day, because every morning when I wake up, my leg is super stiff and I have to spend all day. It's like a tin man with an oil can, like just getting the leg to work again. And I was like, okay, failing. But now it totally changed my attitude that, like, okay, I start that way every day. That is to be expected. And as each day goes on, I'm getting a little bit better. So that was all, it was a real turning point for me. And also just looking at my own x-rays and seeing other people look at the x-rays and just say, whoa, for some reason that's reassuring. Okay. So now here's my question for you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm spending so long on this, but
no, we're going to hold Julie's story. So just carry on.
Okay. So now here's what I need your advice on. My next appointment with my surgeon is in January, because that's a year after my surgery. And I'm trying to talk myself into actually looking him in the face and explaining the impact that his language and attitude had on me. I don't know, even though I am Liz Dolan, I don't know if I'm brave enough to do that. I have 4 months to rehearse. But what do you think I should say to my original doctor about how his negative language had worked against me so much? Any advice?
Well, do you think he really cares?
No.
Okay. So
I guess the question is,
if you provide that feedback to him, you know, will it in any way change his relationship with other patients or with you? I don't know. It doesn't sound like it. Like, it doesn't sound like he cares.
Well, if nobody ever
like he cares about his technical skill as a surgeon. So,
I just feel like if nobody ever tells him that it's about more than just looking at the picture and saying, look, your bones have healed, that if nobody ever says to him, you need to like talk to your patient and listen to what she's saying. I feel like he underestimated me from the beginning. Mm-hmm. He's probably thinking, oh, you know, some middle-aged lady, probably not very active, not this, not that, probably not doing her PT right. I feel like he made all of these assumptions about me, which were all incorrect.
Okay.
I would agree with that, Liz, having been in most of those meetings. I would agree with that he underestimated you. I would say something, you know, I mean, I think this is a good question for all the doctors that we have who listen.
Yeah.
To the show.
Yeah.
You know, what's the most helpful way to give this feedback or accept this feedback? I mean, you get a lot of, did you like your service? You know, a lot of like, please tell us how we're doing.
Having an opportunity, you know, online as well to leave a comment on, you know, you can evaluate him and that goes into his ratings and stuff. So
I guess, I thought about that Julie.
Seems less personal.
Seems less impactful.
Yes. It seems like, you know, if anyone could say these things, it's Liz Dolan. So
with 4 months to prep, I don't know. I was just thinking about it. Anyway, I would just like to reassure everyone out there, like the value of a second opinion. I read a lot about it. It has a medical value. For me, it also had a huge psychological value. And that's why I'm so glad I did it. Even though basically the new doctor said, what you're doing is right. So there was no change of diagnosis. There was no change of the course of treatment or anything, but it was just the reassurance that, no, you're doing the right thing. It's just the timeline is this, not that. Mm-hmm. And I think that he just had a different timeline in his head. So it's the psychological benefit was as important to me as the medical benefit. So I urge people, if it's something that's really in your head, the way this had gotten in my head, seek a second opinion. That is my official medical advice.
Hey, I would like to just shout out publicly to my friend Maggie, who I know listens to the show, and she's the one that got you that name.
Thank you.
And everything.
Thank you, Maggie.
Yeah, she was super duper helpful.
Yes.
Okay, Liz, but really, if you're a doctor, is there a doctor in the house? If you're a doctor, please weigh in, or a healthcare professional of any kind, please weigh in on the Facebook group.
What's the best way to give back to the doctor? What is the best way? Great.
I think you should tell that whippersnapper.
You're going to call him that? Look at Dr. Whippersnapper.
We're going to call him Dr. Whippersnapper. Okay. All right. Yes, I would love to know from any doctors we have listening, how would you want to get that kind of feedback? Because I think it's important.
Right.
Okay. There you go.
All right. Well, I'm gonna really switch. We had a lovely transition here, but forget it. We're going right to home improvement. So you got a few minutes here to increase the value of your house. And so I'm going to take it. All right. You know, last week's pep talk was all about putting up my decorative wreath. I just want to let people know that happened. The fall flags are up. I got mums. I got gourds. The whole front of the house is looking good for fall. That made me feel better. I needed to do some transitioning and I did it. And that was very helpful. But real estate agents say that if you up the curb appeal of your home, it could account for up to 7% of the home's sell price. So that's substantial amount of money. Yeah.
Mm.
Just for slapping some new paint on the front door. Okay. So what are the things? I have three articles, one from the New York Times, one from Martha Stewart, and then one from Better Homes and Gardens, which is really just about throwing stuff out of your kitchen. But I think you're going to enjoy that. Okay. So here are the things that the New York Times says, get up that curb appeal. Okay. First of all, break out the paint. I think we all know that in our hearts, but they always say it's the cheapest, easiest thing to do. We're going to get to specific paint colors that could increase the value of your home. That's what Martha's article was about. But if you've reconsidered, you know, repainting your front door or something in the front of your house, do it. That's what you should do, according to the New York Times. How about this? Change the lighting. Set the mood with your lighting. Exterior lighting is incredibly pivotal, said an interior designer, because only interior designers say things like that.
Yes.
Well, see that. I mean, I think that, you know, it does make it more welcoming and it can accent the strong features of your home. Yes.
There you go, Julie. Also, you want to think about a soft glow, not a harsh single light. That's not going to look great. People don't want that. They want a soft glow and they want decorative fixtures. You want to think about the scale. You don't want to put, you know, tiny things on a big house or big things on a small house. It's hard to tell in those home improvement stores. But depending upon the size of the house, though, bigger is better. Okay, plant it. You know what you need to do. You need to get out some planters. You need to throw some plants in it. All right.
You need the pop of color at the front, right? Isn't that what don't real estate agents always say that? Yes.
They say it about 26 times in this article, pop of color. Almost every other paragraph includes the phrase pop of color.
Okay.
So put some green out there, get some boxwood or, you know, if you want a pop of color, your bougainvillea or something, just put something out there. Also, nothing beats the matching pair of tall pots or urns on either side of the front steps. Do it. Okay. Liz, you have a more informal entryway. You're going to cluster those pots, Liz. Cluster them.
Okay.
Two or three on either side of the front door. Just cluster them. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's different in a condo building, right? You don't really have a grand entrance, but okay. All right. Okay.
But you could have some entrance. Currently now you just have a jumble of stuff in the front of your.
It's not a cluster. Sure.
It's not a jumble of stuff, Leanne. Those are my earthquake supplies. Okay. So that when I'm running out of the house during the earthquake, it's all right there. That was my thought process.
Well, maybe light it better. Maybe add a soft glove. Okay. Here was one tip. Add a perch. And I was like, what? Is that a birdhouse? No, it's just a chair or a seat. I don't know why they have to call it a perch in the New York Times. But, you know,
like
you see people
bench.
Have benches.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's really charming. Yes.
It's charming. I don't ever see anyone sitting in those benches.
No,
but apparently
don't sit down on those benches ever. No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then this is something I disagree with the New York Times. It says roll out the welcome mat. Okay. Now I enjoy a decorative welcome mat. I mean, I live for those. I change my welcome mats frequently. And the designer from the New York Times that's quoted just says, you know, keep them very simple. The focus should be on the door and the door hardware, not the quirky mat. I say no. I say no, New York Times.
Quirky mat? You're down with the quirky mat?
You want the quirky mat. I don't know. That's a controversial position, Leon.
Nothing makes delivery people laugh more than my Prince doormat, which says, if you didn't come to party, don't bother knocking on my door. Okay? People love it.
All right. I can see how that would, yeah.
Okay.
That would be popular.
What are the paint colors you need to increase the value of your home? So yeah. Who do you go to for paint colors? You go to Martha Stewart, right? Because she does actually have really good taste in paint.
Yeah.
And so so she lists a bunch of colors here. Warm grays. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, soft whites, soft velvety beige, light pastels, creamy off-whites. And if you're thinking, those all sound like the same color. They are. They're all the same color.
No pop of color on the wall. No. Keep it neutral, right? People, right? That because otherwise people won't walk by your house.
That's exactly the lesson.
Like they don't like, Liz, I know you're talking about an accent wall. You're going to put up some of your own wallpaper.
Wallpaper. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just see so many ads for those wall murals now in my Instagram feed. It's just, again, it's in my head. It's in my head now.
Well, you want to remember, according to the designer quoted in the Martha Stewart article, a buyer needs to be able to envision their furniture coordinating with the chosen paint color, which is true. So like, things like a red kitchen, no one wants a red kitchen, except maybe you, and you painted it red. And now you're going to lose up to, they said, $7,500 for the wrong paint color. Mm. So you don't want to do that. All right. So what you do is you just get yourself a warm gray, a soft white, a velvety beige, a light pastel, or a creamy off-white. Those are all the same color. You can't miss there.
So you need a no color color.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Now here's my last home improvement thing. This is a good fall project. And Liz, particularly if you're gearing up for another season of Cooking with Liz.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When you first started cooking with Liz, you had no utensils or tools. You had none that were actually usable. You had that were safe or
effective.
Cut.
She had props in her kitchen.
It's not safe or effective. I know, but so, I've upgraded quite a bit.
Okay, so now you may have, too many. So here's what you need to do. For fall, you're going to throw away these 12 items immediately and be glad you did it. That's the headline for Better Homes and Garden. Okay, clean out those drawers that hold your gadgets, silverware, not. You're going to get rid of the mismatched silverware pieces, the never used tools, and the lesser quality knives. So I guess it means that I have to get rid of that one fork I have from our childhood silver.
Don't do it, Leon.
Can't do it.
Save it, Leon. No.
I mean, we had that nice modern, my mom always had great silver, and I have one fork left from that really great looking. It was kind of a stainless
fork. That could go to the next generation.
Okay. I got the one
stainless steel fork to the next generation.
Okay. Get rid of your grocery bags. Stash reusable shopping bags in your car instead of a cabinet.
Just as I've been doing all these years, just leave everything in your car.
Okay.
Yes, you're exceeding on that one, yes.
It's, you know, it's great for city dwellers who have no cars. I often feel bad for them because they just get totally left out of these things. Okay, so here, what else do we want to do? Oh, you want to get rid of old spices. Okay, come on. They should come with expiration dates, but they don't. Mm-hmm. So get rid of them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dump out the expired seasonings, cleaning and drying the jars, whatever. Get bulk organic spices and go for it. Fantastic.
You know what? I hate to say it, we did cover that on Cooking with Liz.
Okay.
You know, that the going through your spice museum. So, you know, I was ahead of the curve on getting rid of old spices.
Well, they have two other particular squares that are both related to getting rid of rancid products. Okay. I think we all know that. Getting rid of. Really? People need to be told to get rid of rancid.
Well, you know, people stocked up in 2020.
That's true.
And you need to look at the items that you bought in January 2020 because a lot of them are expiring right now or have expired.
That's true, right. Julie.
Mm-hmm. Here's the other two categories you're going to want to get rid of: frostbitten foods and dated refrigerator items. Yes, those are both disgusting. Get rid of those. Okay. And this This is for all of you people. The last one is for all of you people that bought those air fryers during the pandemic. Get rid of your space hogging gear. Have you seen how giant those air fryers are?
Like I don't even understand what they are.
Frankly. It's like a lunar module in your kitchen. It is that big.
People love them though, Lee, and they love them.
I don't understand. They're so large. I don't know. Can't you just grill the fish? I don't understand, but okay. So that's what, get rid of your space hogging gear. I know we're going to hear from the air fryer lovers now. They're going to say it's the best thing they ever bought, but yeah. They're very large. Is all
I had a big debate with myself 3 months ago about my George Foreman grill. Cause it's, you know, it's put away, but like mom gave it to me. I never use it, but mom gave it to me. Wasn't there a year where mom gave all of us a George Foreman grill?
Yes.
Do you still have yours? Do you guys still have yours?
No.
I used mine so much it broke. I had to get another one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think you could just pass that on, Liz, to someone, you know.
Okay. All right. Maybe.
That was very cryptic. You know someone who needs a grill?
Just someone out there.
Okay. I'll think about that, Jewel. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Whew, we went through that pretty quick. But anyway, there you go. You're going to paint your house. You're going to put a perch out and you're going to get rid of your rancid food. So that'll get you all shaped up. All right. When we come back, we have some entertaining sisters information and we have our big award. First, we want to thank a sponsor and it's perfect.
Liz, some people say it's spring, but I call this Osea season.
Oh, you do? Okay. I like it. We can make that happen. Osea season. I'm in.
Well, you know, there are a lot of events this time of year, right? You have spring holidays, you have graduations, there's Mother's Day, baby showers, weddings, wedding showers. Don't you want to be moisturized, Liz? Don't you want your skin to look as good as it can possibly look when you show up at your high school reunion? I mean,
yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Plus, it's a big gift season and Osea is great for that, too. So,
right. Oh, yeah. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare that provides results you can see and confidence you can feel. And right now, you're going to get 10% off your first order with our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You know why we love their moisturizing products? Like their anti-aging body balm? Because it's silky. And it's a serum lotion hybrid. It just melts into your skin, Liz. It leaves you glowing, you know? Glowing.
I love the term glow up. I'm going to start using that more. I just love it.
Well, Liz, OseaMalibu.com, it's a glow up in a box, Liz. Get it. Get on it. If you want to celebrate Osea season by glowing up and adding moisture with their fantastic moisturizing products, here's what you do. Glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and Osea is Osea. OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
All right, we're back. Okay, you guys, we got an award this week from the City of Santa Monica.
Yes.
And it's pretty exciting. They sent us an email because we can order the actual awards to display proudly in our closets, in our places of business.
Okay.
Where I work, right here.
Here's what the City of Santa Monica has awarded us. We are the winner for the 2021 Best of Santa Monica Award in the category of Satellite Communication Service.
Wow, they did do a lot of research into us, obviously.
Yes. We have been providing consistent, high quality satellite communication service, haven't we?
Behind the scenes, we do this podcast. That's just the lost leader, you know, because what we're really doing is providing high level satellite communication service.
Wow.
So that is exciting. I may just order one just for fun.
Please.
Okay. So there's no parade.
There's no parade, Liz.
Okay.
You're not even mayor for the day or anything.
Okay.
And if we widely publicize this, pretty soon people will find out we do not actually provide satellite communication.
Yeah. I mean, Liz, is there sort of a Santa Monica magazine where they showcase the best of Santa Monica? Maybe we'll be listed in there.
I think there is, or you can get one of those stickers for your front door, People's Choice. Yeah.
Yes.
In my apartment unit. I'm not sure. I don't get a lot of street traffic by my front door, but I could try displaying something. No, I think the best thing for people to do, we've said it before, is to share the sisters. This is no kidding. This is what we would really love for you to do. If you have an episode that you love, just send that to one of your own satellite sisters or misters. The more you share around some of the episodes that you like, the more listeners we have. And we would love to have more people in on the sisterhood and misterhood. So you can just, no matter what app you're using, there's always a way to just say, okay, that was funny. I'm going to send that to whoever. Name whoever your sister or mister is. So go ahead and share the sisters. If you want to tell them that we're in the satellite equipment business, you can, but you could just start with how great the podcast is. We're not going to try to sell anyone a satellite anytime soon. Just how much you love this show.
Good one.
Yeah, I also like when people who are listening to back episodes post their favorite either on Facebook and tag us or post it in our Facebook group. That's fun to see sort of what old ones they've dug up and what they're laughing at. It's really a lot of fun. So I appreciate that. And I'm just looking at the awards now. It's going to cost us $229 to get one of the awards. So, yeah. So
maybe
we'll
pass on that.
To see if we can afford that in our marketing
budget.
Maybe
we could just get a screenshot.
Okay. All right. Entertaining sisters. Liz, you want to do a quick follow-up on Theranos?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know, I know the Theranos trial is going on. You know the Theranos trial is going on. Like many of you, you've listened to all of the podcasts and you've seen all the documentaries. And, but there was an episode of a podcast this week that I just wanted to pass along. So Kara Swisher, who is a very famous tech journalist, does a podcast called Sway, for the New York Times, in which she just interviews people with sway, sisters, people she thinks really, you know, are making things happen in the world. And this week's episode, she talks to Anne Wojcicki, who is the CEO of the company 23andMe, which plays a key role in your novel, Liam.
Yes,
so,
yes they do.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a really interesting discussion between Kara and Anne Wojcicki about privacy and scientific literacy. And also, of course, Elizabeth Holmes comes up, because if you are a tech CEO in Silicon Valley in the sort of health sciences space, which is where Anne Wojcicki is, you know what Elizabeth Holmes sort of has been up against, or what you can do and what you can't do. So it's a very interesting discussion about where the limits are when you're in that health space, about claims you could make. Like 23andMe got into a lot of trouble with the FDA a few years ago that they were sharing health information that they had not been approved to share yet. So, I mean, that was not a crime. It was not a fraud the way Theranos is accused of defrauding some of their users. But anyway, so she talks about the science of it, the ethical aspects of it, and also the law enforcement angle of all of this. So, and she said from the beginning, whenever she saw Theranos being presented at these big conferences, she couldn't understand why no one was asking them the hard questions. They were not getting the hard science questions. And so Kara says to her, well, why didn't you ask? And she's like, yeah, well, yeah, that's not for me to do, which is an interesting part of the culture, right?
Right.
There was that. And then another thing that's interesting in this particular episode, she talks about how female founders are facing additional bias and additional scrutiny now because of the Theranos blow up. So anyway, it's called Sway. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Okay. Okay. Great, Jill. Now we have a bunch of books we want to recommend. Jill,
one that I want to recommend, new book, but it's an excellent book. It's Eric Larson's book called Dead Wake. And this is about the sinking of the Lusitania. Now, you may recall the Lusitania from high school history, and you think you know everything that happened, but you didn't until you read this nonfiction book that reads like fiction. It was such a page turner. I wasn't even sure the boat was going to sink in this occasion. I mean, it's
on the edge of your seat.
I really was. But here's the other thing I was thinking about this book. This is a great partner or spouse book to read. Let's say you and your spouse are looking for a book to listen to or read to. I'd highly recommend Dead Wake by Eric Larson, because it's just chock full of interesting facts about that period of time. Do you realize that it was 2 years after the sinking of the Lusitania that the U.S. got involved with World War One? I always thought it was like the next day, it was a Pearl Harbor event.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me too.
I read this book, and so that's what I know. So I think this would be a great book if you're looking for something to read with your spouse or partner. It's Eric Larson's Dead Wake about the sinking of the Lusitania.
Okay.
Well, Julia, that's interesting, because I also have a World War One book to recommend, but it's a novel called At Summer's End by Courtney Ellis. And I just really enjoyed it. It's about a female artist who wants to start getting commissions, and it's very unusual. She's very ambitious. And so she takes this commission that she thinks is from this well-to-do Duke. And it turns out that unlike Downton Abbey, it's more like it's more like a Downton Abbey on the downslide, that the whole estate is going downhill, and the Duke
faulty
there
towers,
has
more like faulty towers.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's been in World War One, so he's suffering sort of the post-traumatic stress of being in World War One. So, but I just thought it was like a very charming, unusual view of kind of British, landed people who have really had a lot of issues and no money. And it was just an unexpected twist. And World War One is not, I don't think we know that much about World War One. I feel like all we learned was the Lusitania trench warfare. We're on to the next war. Yeah. So yeah. So I enjoyed At Summer's End by Courtney Ellis. And then another book I really enjoyed that's being published today is called Catch Us When We Fall by Juliette Fay. Very different book. It's contemporary fiction, but it's really a hard look at sort of addiction and recovery in a fictional, setting. But it's a very real, well-researched story about what it's like to, in this case, get clean, to stop drinking, for this one woman to stop drinking, and the people in her life that help her do that, and the challenges she goes through, and the people that she meets in the process. Catch Us When We Fall is the name of the book by Juliette Fay. And these are always in the show notes, and we put our recommendations also in Pep Talk. So if you're driving and you don't remember, it's another good reason to subscribe to Pep Talk, because you'll get the books and the TV shows and everything and the podcasts that we recommend in our weekly newsletter. But those are my picks. Liz,
we have a big event coming up. We just want to remind people that She Podcasts Live is a women's podcasting convention that happens in Scottsdale, Arizona, October 14th through 17th. It's mainly for people who podcast, but also podcast fans are welcome. And Leon and I are the keynote speakers on Saturday, October 16th at that conference. So Saturday at 9 a.m., we'll be on stage with one of the women who runs She Podcasts, and just talking about our lives as podcasters, Leanne.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure out what that is.
Yeah. Let's cook something up.
So I'll put a link in the show notes to shepodcast.com, and they do have virtual tickets too. So if you're interested in that, if you can't be in Scottsdale, Arizona, I believe there's an alternative where you can do that. So
yes, there's an all virtual event. You get to see all the keynotes and everything like that for $99 for the 3-day conference. Pretty reasonable, the virtual event.
We just love to support all of the women's voices in podcasting. So, and we know you probably do too. So that's She Podcasts Live.
All right. A big thank you today to Sergio Enriquez, our engineer. Thanks, Sergio, for all your help in making the show. A big thanks to Emily Loudermilk, who does our graphic designs. If you're not following us on Instagram @SatSisters, you can see Emily's work every week. All right. Our to-dos. Jewel, what do you got?
But mine is to follow up. You remember last week, Liz and I were talking about La La Land, which was this super cool coffee beverage shop that have opened in Dallas and in Santa Monica. And I was somewhat intimidated to go in there, but I did.
Yes.
But I want to thank Satellite Sister listeners, Debbie and Dawn, that did some additional research that I probably could have done to find out that La La Land has a wonderful mission, that they support people that were in the foster care system that are now old enough to work, and that, and those are the people that are working at La La Land. So I think
that's great,
which is really a great mission to hire, you know, hire people that have come up through the foster care system. We really applaud them. I will applaud them in person the next time I'm in there ordering a beverage. So thank you very much to our Satellite Sister listeners.
Okay, on my to-do list, I'm just going to get rid of the rancid oils. I mean, it's time.
Okay. It's
time. Congrats.
Thanks.
Sounds very productive.
I don't want you to say that word ever again.
All right, well, this is Liz, my to-do list. I am getting a house call this afternoon, Leon, from your son, Colin.
Nice.
Colin is coming over. This is quite a milestone for me, sisters and misters. Colin is going to reinstall the shower door he had to remove in the early part of February because I could not get in and out of my own shower. Now that I can, the door is going back on. And I feel like this whole thing is sort of the last piece, the restoration of what I previously had going on in my home will be complete once that shower door is back on. Again, symbolically, very powerful for me. And I'm very grateful that Colin knows how to do it.
Good. And give Colin the George Foreman grill, Liz.
Oh, that's
don't know. I don't need one. We
he lives
one.
At Leanne.
He lives at my house. Don't.
Why not forever, Leanne? You can take it with him.
No.
Okay.
He's not. Right. He's.
Oh, okay.
He's anyway, gonna, fine.
Please don't give him that grill. I'm begging you.
Okay. Just, I'm going to send him home with some bottles of rancid oil or something. I don't know what. Anyway, I'm very excited about my shower door.
All right. Ooh, it's a busy week for all of us.
Yes.
All right, sisters, have a great week.
You too, Leon.
You too, Leon.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.